Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa salam, sir. How's the brother?
Alhamdulillah. Good, good. Praises be to Allah. Okay,
right.
I'll put myself on mute. Put myself on mute.
Okay, okay, sounds
Allah
good.
Allah bless you with a good kutbah.
Oh, shukran. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Alhamdulillah.
Allah bless you. Appreciate your support.
Yes, sir. All praise be to Allah. All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله رسول الله الحمد لله. Brothers and sisters, peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to our Jummah prayer service, which the Muslims do all over the world every Friday. We thank Allah. And we're going to open our Jummah prayer here in Los Angeles with the declaration that the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, always use. And this is the khutbah al Hajja, and with the Al Hajja, this is the authentic opening of the Jummah prayer. And so, for us as Muslims, we always follow what has been revealed to us in the example of Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him. And we're going to go ahead and open up with that. And I'll read it in the Arabic and in the English. We thank Allah that we are multilingual now. And we thank Allah for guiding us to be able to do the Arabic as it was revealed. And it starts with A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. It starts with Alhamdulillah. Nahmaduhu wa astainuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdi ilahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده ولا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. I was reading the transliteration, but actually the reason I didn't read the Arabic too good is because it's a little smaller and I don't have my glasses, but we actually have gotten to the place or to the point now where some of us, our Arabic reading recognition, is actually better than or in line with our English recognition, and that's very good. And that just shows you that our souls as Muslims, we prefer the Arabic. We prefer the Quran. So that's what we're doing. So we've gone ahead and started the Jummah, and we thank Allah for guiding us. And in the translation of what we said, praise be to Allah, and we seek his help and his forgiveness, and we seek refuge with Allah from the evil of our own souls and from our bad deeds. Whosoever Allah guides will never be led astray, and whomsoever Allah leads astray, no one can guide. I bear witness that there is nothing and no one worthy of worship except Allah, the one and only. He has no partner. I bear witness that Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, is Allah's messenger and his servant, the servant and his messenger. Again, brothers and sisters, welcome to our Jummah. We're always excited, and we thank Allah for guiding us to this blessed culture, this blessed way of life, this blessed religion. We thank Allah for that, and we want to hold ourselves accountable to be just to Allah, to obey him the way he wants to be obeyed, to obey Allah and to serve him in the way he has commanded us to serve him. And that is based on the example of Muhammad, the prayer and the peace be upon him. The Prophet is the most successful human being that ever lived. His mission, his success, his example, his way is perfect. As a human being, he's a perfect model for us. And Allah says that of him, Uswatun Hasnatun, that he is the best. That he is the best example for us. That his example, his character, his model is the best for us. And if we follow him, we will be successful. And he stands on that translation. In the translation, it means he is on an exalted standard of character. Exalted. He performed better than any other messenger. He actually has a title that we say that he is Khairul Mursaleen. Khairul Mursaleen. That his example, his way has made him be better than all of the other prophets, all the way back to Adam. And Adam is his father, just like Adam is our father. But Adam did not have the best example. Brothers and sisters, we are thankful for Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him. And we must get the courage to do the same things, have the same faith, to be honest to Allah in prayer, to seek his help and his aid, his guidance, and to be just, to show Allah that we're willing to do exactly what he has ordered us to do, what he's commanded us to do. And as I said, Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, is the best example of the performance of what Allah commands for us as human beings and beyond. No one can match his character. No one can match his effort. No one can match the performance as a human being in the life of this world. We're challenged all the time. He was challenged. We're being tested with just all kinds, all manner of craziness and all manner of crime in the society. Challenges, insults, evils. But Allah has guided us and Allah has given us exactly what we need to be successful. And we have people calling in, and we thank Allah. They're calling in from all over the country. And I believe that they are also calling in on the Blog Talk radio station, that number. And we can't say enough about the support that we get from the radio station. There are people that we never met. There are people on the other side of the country and maybe on the other side of the planet that listen to that radio station, and they get a chance to hear what we're talking about because of the support of, I call him Imam Amin Muhammad. And so they're trying to call in from around the country, and they're going to say maybe other parts of the world to hear what we're talking about on Jummah, because the people on the East Coast, they had their Jummah. The Jummah started at 1 o'clock on the East Coast, Eastern Standard Time. We're at 1 o'clock Western Time, Pacific Standard Time. So they can have their Jummah and spend a couple of hours doing something and then call in and listen to our Jummah too. Alhamdulillah. So we were saying that the Prophet's example, he's called Khairul Mursaleen. He's the best of even all of the messengers who were the highest quality human beings, the highest performance of human beings on the planet. His mission was better than Moses' mission, better than Jesus' mission, better than any mission. David, Solomon, Ibrahim, peace be upon all of them. His mission, all the way back to Adam, is the best. His performance was the best. So through Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we learn what pleases Allah, because he's the receiver of the Quran. And Allah has in the Quran what he wants us to do. He has laws in there. He has history in there. He has examples of how we should behave as human beings. And Allah has great understanding in there, divine understanding of, he knows what we go through. Allah gives us insight into how well he knows us. Why shouldn't he? He made us. So we are divinely guided. And Allah says many times in the Quran, he's al-Aqib, that he is watching. Al-Basir, he sees you. As-Sami, he hears you. These are his divine names, some of them. There's 99 attributes that we know of, and more. The greatest name that Allah reminds us of that he has is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, that he's so merciful. He says in the Holy Quran that he has inscribed for himself the rule, a rule of mercy. Allah has put on himself, he's obligated himself to be merciful to us and to help us and to forgive us. And as I was saying, Allah knows the challenges that we face in this society. Allah says, don't even try to justify yourself, because he's watching, he sees, he knows what you're going through. And he says he has ample forgiveness. Allah says that he has ample forgiveness for us. And we are told by Prophet Muhammad, the prayers of peace be upon him, that if you have a sin, Allah has sin greater than, forgiveness bigger than your sin. Pardon me. Allah has forgiveness bigger than your sin. And while we're on that point, Allah has no flaws. He has no mistakes. He makes no mistakes. And what he has instructed us with has no mistakes in it either. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. This is a book, the Quran, the words of Allah, the instructions of Allah, the laws, the rules, the guidance of Allah, that has no mistakes in it, no flaws in it. It has no shortcoming. But it is guidance for those who are God-fearing. Guidance for those who are God-fearing. Huda al-Muttaqin. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَى الْمُتَّقِينَ. So we as Muslims have to pay attention. We have to listen. We have to learn. We have to humble ourselves. We have to bow down. Allah says he's made us for nothing else but his worship and service. He's made us for his worship and service. We're getting calls in. And I'm trying to operate the our little system here. We've finally gotten halfway good at it. Alhamdulillah. But I'm not going to interrupt. We have actually three phones that we're working on, and we got about five lines open now going in different directions. And I don't know the connections that other people have who are connected to us. So I can see five. But there may be, you know, several more, inshallah. So, brothers and sisters, let us keep our minds, let us keep our hearts, let us keep our ways, let us keep our spirit open to what Allah is offering us. And he's offering us the best life in this world, and he's offering us the best life in the hereafter, eternal life. Talking to a Muslim yesterday, and I was telling Allah has offered you eternal life. He's offered you good in this world and good in the next. Allah wants us to remember him in everything we do. If you make a mistake or you break the rules, Allah said in the Quran, don't, in so many words, throw yourself away. You heard the old saying, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Don't destroy yourself because of some mistake or slight or fault you have. Allah says he has all forgiveness for you. He has ample reward for you, brothers and sisters, for your good deeds. So the Muslims must work as hard as we can to worship and serve Allah by following the rules that he has in there. Allah says, keep up your prayers. Number one, keep your faith in him. Keep your faith in Allah and his messenger. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, if you will hold on to what Allah says in the Holy Quran, you'll hold on to that book and his way of living that book and what he said in his life, called his sunnah. His behavior, his word, called his sunnah, how he obeyed Allah. If you keep the book of Allah and his sunnah, he said, my sunnah, his sunnah, you will never go astray. You'll never go astray. So keep your faith in Allah, your obedience to Allah. Remember him in everything that you do. I heard an imam say the other day, he said, every time you get ready to do something, remember to say Bismillah first. Say Allah first. Recognize Allah first. Remember Allah. I'm just hoping I don't start the coughing. I just got over a throat cold not long ago. But remember Allah and everything that you're doing. All praise to Allah for the ability to move forward and to humble ourselves down, asking Allah's forgiveness. So we remember Allah, we be faithful in everything that we're doing. And remember Muhammad. They're not equal. Allah made Muhammad. Allah made Jesus. Allah made Moses. Allah made all of us and gave us every particular part, all of the trillions and trillions and trillions of things that he's put into us, into our bodies, into our minds, into our thinking, that he's made available for us. I heard Imam Muhammad say one time, peace be upon him, Imam W.D. Muhammad, our great leader, champion here in America and for the world. They're noticing him. They're picking up on what he's saying. And if they don't ever, we must be people who remember what he says so we can, like I heard one brother say, he said, I am W.D. Muhammad. Talking about all of us. He said, that's the attitude and spirit we should have. But I heard him say that we have potential. And he said, as long as we got potential, he said, we're powerful. We have potential and we use our potential. We're on a discovery each and every day. We want to discover ourselves. We want to know more about ourselves, and we want to present what we know to the world. And that's a mighty, mighty offering to give the world what we got, what we received through a leader like W.D. Muhammad. All praises to Allah. But I was saying about Prophet Muhammad, the prayer and the peace be upon him, as well as W.D. Muhammad and any other creature. We're all created beings. We're all created beings. So no matter what we have to offer, no matter what the potential is, Allah is greater than us. When we say Allahu Akbar, we're saying Allah is greater and more important than anything or anyone. But it's the knowledge that Allah has given us, that he's placed with us as his inheriting agent, as his agents, that it is you, it is he who has made you, he has made you his inheriting agent, caretakers on the earth, caretakers in the earth, caretakers on the earth. And so we use what Allah has said to us in the Holy Quran and what we have heard the greatest leaders, the greatest of them being Prophet Muhammad, the prayer and the peace be upon him. We use that on the world. We use it in our lives. That's our great potential. That's our great inheritance. And we promote that. We stand by it. We think deeply about it. We remember it. We reflect it to the rest of the world. It's a mighty offering. If they accept it, they'll be successful. That's what Allah says in the Quran. Any who have faith, any who remember Allah, any who live al-Islam, they will be the successful ones. Qad aflaha al-mu'minun. The believers will win. We will be successful. So all we do every day is be faithful Muslims. We remember Allah in everything that we do. We remember Allah in everything that we do. Before we begin anything, we remember Allah. We keep our faith, and we trust Muhammad because he's the best. And we make our prayers. We pray. We have 5 daily prayers, but we don't stop there. We pray all the time. We remember, actually, we remember, prayer is a form of remembrance. We remember Allah in everything we do. We remember Allah in everything we do. Thank Allah. We're grateful to Allah. We make what's called zikr, remembrance of Allah, zikr. And we say, Subhanallah, highly glorified are you, Allah. Highly glorified are you. And you have no imperfection. Highly glorified are you. And you have no imperfection. You are perfect. That's the one we worship. We worship the Creator. He's not a man. He's not a statue. He's not a race. It's ridiculous to think that a Chinese is going to bow down and pray to the European. That's absurd. It's crazy to think that the Japanese is going to bow down and pray to the Mexican. So it's also or equally absurd to think that black people or any race should bow down to another race or anything on in the earth or on the in the creation. So we as Muslims, we don't bow down to anything except Allah. And he is not a person. He is not a race. Allah is the creator of all things that exist. We thank Allah for his guidance, for his mercy. So we pray to Allah. We remember Allah and everything that we're doing, called zikr. We say, Allahu Akbar. That means Allah is greater and more important than anything. And these jewels, these utterances, these beautiful utterances, condition our minds, will develop our minds, will train our minds to remember Allah properly, that he's more important than anything you can see, taste, smell, touch, hear, smell. Allah is divine. He's perfect, creator of everything that exists. But he is not created a created thing at all. He's the creator. The Holy Quran says he never was a child and he never had children. So the concept or this idea or this lie, really, that they have of Son of God, I'm God's baby. I've heard some people say that. Some females got that real bad. I'm married to God. They usually say married to Jesus. Now, you don't know anything about Jesus being married. The average person has no idea about the family history of Jesus. But they say those kinds of things. And then they, say vulgar things about God. You hear them all the time using it in curse, using the word cursing. We don't even like to use the word God. Because as you probably heard by now, the word God spelled backwards is dog. So we as Muslims are trained and educated. We're educated people. We're a culture. We're people that live in the most we live inside of the thinking of the most comprehensive way of life, the most comprehensive culture, the most comprehensive religion on the face of the planet. Covers everything. Covers everything perfectly. We don't have to worry about anything. When you become a Muslim and you start getting education as a Muslim, training yourself as a Muslim, and the Prophet, peace be upon him, says every parent has that obligation to teach their children al-Islam, to teach their children knowledge, divine knowledge, truth, reality. Allah is the ultimate reality. He is not an idol. You can't see Allah, the ultimate reality. You can't envision in your mind every reality that exists. And he made those. But Allah is the highest reality. We call him, what do we say, the Most High. He's the all-knowing, the all-seeing. It doesn't matter if it's on earth, under the earth, out in space, beyond space. You don't even know what that is. You have no real idea about that. You only know what this society has taught you, or the people of the earth has taught you, because you taught generally the same thing about science and the solar system and whatnot in every country.
So there's some things we really can't think that deeply about. We can strain our mind. We can try to stretch our mind to see something, to know something. But you can't even, you don't even know the, you know little about the signs that Allah put even inside your own, that you've been walking around in your whole life. You know very little about your mind. That's why so many people go crazy. They can't even correct small things, small habits that they have that are damaging them severely. Time for us to wake up and just bow down to Allah and ask Allah to help you, guide you, show you the right way, keep you safe, protect you. Send his angels to be with you and help you. You've got two that are with you all the time. Most of the time we just call them, most people call them guardian angels, right? Allah says he has put two angels with you, that they are kind and honorable, writing down your deeds. One of them writes, the other one drives you forward. You're going on towards Allah. And the Quran says you shall meet him. But we're told only come to Allah clean. Come to Allah with your weight of deeds heavy on the side of good. The angel is writing down your deeds. He's recording. I know we think in our mind pen and paper. The angel doesn't need pen and paper. Record what you do. If Allah told him you're a recorder angel, if Allah told that being you're a recorder angel, that's what he does. You don't even have to use male and female. You can just say it, or you can say that being. And they're not male or female. Allah can let an angel assume whatever shape he wants an angel to be in. You keep acting crazy, Allah might let the angel be a dog or anything, bite your butt and chase you into a river or something. You drown. Yeah, you don't know. The angel of death is always there. He's no further than the command of Allah to tell him to take your soul. Allah says in the Quran, the angel takes our soul to death. He duly performs his duty. No problem. And Allah says of the whole creation, when he wants anything, he just says to it, be, and it is. Kun, fayakun. This religion is so easy. So we believe in Allah. We remember Allah. We follow the prophet, peace be upon him. We make our prayers, five daily prayers, plus the other remembrance, the other realities of remembrance, like remembering Allah's name and remembering his powers and remembering what he does for us and how he'll help us. Allah says he is the Savior. He is the helping friend. Al-Wali. Allah knows everything. Al-Alim. Al-Hayy, that he is always alive. The giver of life, always alive. Mu'yi. He gives life. He's al-mumit, the giver of death. And Allah is not the Christian or the, what do you call it, the European or the this worldly idea of the Creator. He's not mean. He's not wicked. He's not like the mythology. With the mythology figure, with the bolt of lightning ready to blow you up, strike you and kill you for some minor thing or slight. The worst thing for us is to forget Allah and to join partners with him. When we deny Allah, disrespect Allah, when we blaspheme, do wicked things, try to change his commandments, Allah says in the Quran that when you rehearse the signs of Allah to some of these people, this was during the time some of his own relatives were like this. They would say, give us some other reading. We don't want to hear this. Give us some other reading than this, something other than this. Give us some, what do you say, give us a whole book. Give us the Quran other than this. Or change this part. Change this part right here. If you change this part right here, then we'll be happy. We'll follow you. The prophet, peace be upon him, said to them, it's not for me to change it. It's not for me to change it on my own. If I change it, if I fear that if I try to change it, that I will be punished by Allah. That's what he was saying in that verse. It's so many words. And he told them, if he said, if you could put the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left, I will never stop teaching this religion as it has been revealed to me. I am the messenger of Allah. See, but they could only see him as, oh, no, you're just Muhammad. We've been knowing you your whole life. We were here before you were born. Well, if they were so noble, why were they challenging him and torturing him when all he was doing for them was good? They were mad because he was challenging the cruel, wicked, evil, sick, degenerate, foul things that they were worshiping. Their worship allowed them to kill their young, bury a baby girl alive. I hate to even say stuff like that. Their concept of religion allowed them to drink all they wanted, to fornicate in public, run around naked in public, just kill each other, scheme and plot, and claim that they were being religious or godly. So they didn't want their system or their wickedness to be changed. And that's why they hated Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him. But all he was bringing to them or offering them was good. Everything he offered them was cleanliness, purity, honor, decency, justice, good relations between each other. See, Allah's the one, he doesn't have to ask anybody's permission to correct society or to send help to society or to send doom to society. All Allah has to do is say, kun fayakun. He said, whenever he desires anything, he says to it, be. Kun fayakun. And that's when it occurs. That's when it exists. That's when it lives or dies. Allah doesn't have to ask anyone's permission. That's why Allah says, one of the reasons why Allah says, don't justify yourself. You're not in a position to judge. The Holy Quran says you're not in a position to judge. He says no one is in a position to judge except Allah. So our duty is to worship and to serve Allah. To worship and serve Allah. To be humble. The world or the earth with humility. Taking advantage of all of the blessings, the mercies, the gifts of Allah. The signs of Allah. Allah says that his signs are everywhere. Allah says his signs are everywhere. Even in your own self. Why can't we be grateful to Allah for all of the things that we, the air we're breathing, the sounds we make, the thinking Allah lets us have, the strength, the time, the water that we need. Our bodies are made of mostly water. Why can't we be grateful to Allah? Why can't we just say, thank you, Creator? But Allah says that they don't want to admit that he exists. They have this I mentality. They think that they can do all this stuff themselves and for themselves and by themselves. You know, Europeans got that real bad. I'm the only one, the lone ranger. I come from wherever. The idea of the one human being that can come and save the whole world. Allah doesn't have to die. Allah doesn't send messengers who have to die to change the world. And Allah himself never died. And the idea, the reality, if Jesus was that strong, why does he have to die to change the world? Allah doesn't die to change the world. Allah says be and it is. Allah can destroy this everything in an instant. Allah is the one who holds the sun in place. Allah is the one who lets the earth have water. Allah is the one who gives the earth its balance, its movement. Allah is the one who has control of everything. He says he has, and speaking of people, he has a grip on the forelock. He has everything, grasp of everything by its thinking, by its mind, by its head, by its life, by its power that he gave to it. He controls everything that he gave to it, that he, the life he gave to it. Allah controls that life. Power over life, over death. Allah has power over weight, over invisibility and sight. Allah has power over all of that. He's not asking us for anything. All Allah requires of us is our worship and our service. If we don't want to give it, he's not forcing you. لا إكراه في دين تبين الرشد من الغي. Let there be no compulsion in religion. Truth stands out clear from error. I want to learn the Arabic. I not only want to be bilingual or multilingual and speak different languages, but I want to learn the Arabic because that's the language that the Holy Quran was revealed in, and that is the final language of revelation. You learn the Arabic, you have got the language of revelation in you forever, or it is forever, and if you learn it, you'll get something of the foreverness that's in it, something of the eternity that's in it. Alhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, be good. Be kind. You gain all kind of blessings. A moment ago, we mentioned about the Prophet, peace be upon him, and how he, his character, and how he showed us the prayer, and how he was successful in the prayer. And also, we have to, he showed us how to be successful with the charity. Allah gave all of these signs and this information, this knowledge to him to live. He lived it perfectly. If we give in charity, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said charity burns up sin, or it burns up sin like water puts out fire. I believe I have that perfectly right. That charity destroys your sinfulness, makes you feel good, and you cannot outgive, you cannot outgive Allah. Every charity that you give, he multiplies it over and over and over again for you. So when you give somebody a dollar, Allah can give it back to you, multiply it for you as more money or as some other gift and blessing. That's what Allah can do. It's nothing to him to help you. So you give in charity, and Allah blesses you for some of your sins to just fall off. And speaking of sins, Allah says that he will judge you according to the best of what you have done. We have all kinds of deeds we've done, but Allah says in the judgment, he will judge you according to the best of what you have done and overlook your ill deeds, pass by your ill deeds. Isn't that a blessing? But some of us have done some pretty monstrous things. If you go on the Hajj, one of the blessings of the Hajj is Allah says if you go on the Hajj sincerely, Allah says he will forgive all of your sins you ever did in your whole life. And you will once again be as a newborn baby, guiltless, innocent, clean, adorable. So we give in charity, and we're to give 2.5% of our annual income in charity. That's built into the religion. So you have a guarantee right there that some of your sins are going to be forgiven, because all Muslims are required and commanded and offered the opportunity to give 2.5% of their annual income. That's a very, very small amount of money. If you gave $1,000, if you had $1,000 as your annual income, that's very small. You only have to give $25 of that. $10,000 as your annual income, you only have to give $250 of that. If you had $100,000 as your annual income, you only have to give $2,500, $2,500 out of $100,000. And Allah is still going to forgive your sins for giving the charity. He's going to forgive some of your sins. Oh, praise it to Allah. And then Muslims, I know you hear me going through the five principles of the religion, or the five pillars we call. The next one after the charity is the fasting in the month of Ramadan, where we get an opportunity to refamiliarize ourselves with Allah's command, the Holy Quran, His own words, His words to the whole creation, sent through a messenger, the final messenger, Muhammad. Perfect knowledge, no doubt in it, no flaws in it, no mistakes in it. Nothing in there to stress you out, unless you're a big sinner and tell you you're going to get all these punishments. That is a book. It's a merciful book. It's a glorious book. It's true book. It's all truth. The Holy Quran. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. This is the book in which there is no doubt. هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Guidance for the God-fearing. Hudan. Guidance for the God-fearing. المتقين, those who are God conscious, who really want to respect Allah, really want to worship Allah, really want to serve Allah. When you go out, you should give people charity. You should help people. You should have a heart, a mind to try to pull up fallen humanity, to really try to make a difference in somebody's life. Don't be greedy and selfish and all for yourself. Try to help somebody's life. Allah says one of the requirements is, did you try to help the down and out, the miskeen, we call it miskeen. Did you try to help that person in life? There are people who sleep on the street. There are people who don't have clean clothes. There are people who don't get a chance and don't have any place to take a shower. Now, this is a society where they should have portable or local showers on every block, 2-3 blocks. If you need to post a guard, there, post a guard. But nobody in this country should be walking around dirty. We need strong guards that will make sure that there's nobody selling drugs in the neighborhood, robbing in the neighborhood, kidnapping, child molestation, shooting, riding around. I know we have the police, the local police, the city police, or the town police, or whatever. But is that in the average person's heart? No, I'll tell you what's in the average person's heart is fear, greed, impotence. They're scared. Inability. They're not able to stand up to bullies and cruel people and wicked people. Sometimes not even their own family members. It's a beautiful thing. It's a powerful thing. It's an interesting thing that Prophet Muhammad, the prayer and the peace be upon him, the people that were most against him were his own flesh and blood family members. Thank Allah he had a wife that was with him all the way, Lady Khadija, peace be upon her. May Allah be pleased with her. And we need that closeness. We need to force our will, the will of Allah, we should force that against the corruption in the community and in the neighborhood. Homosexuality should not be rampant. A little girl, maybe about 10 years old yesterday, or maybe, I don't think she was that old, 8 or 9, and her mother was allowing her to grow up as a boy. And I told the mother, I said, you know, that's not natural. God wants males and females. That's the way he makes new people. I gave the mother some money, and I gave the little girl some money. And I said, you should work on that. I said, don't let the society tell you something that's against the Creator. This society will teach you things that are just the opposite of what Allah wants. The opposite. The drinking, the smoking, the drugs, the gambling, the homosexuality, the lying, the cheating, the stealing, the robbing, the breaking in on people. This society allows and puts up with it. And I'll tell you one way where you know they tolerate it is that when criminals do wrong, they don't suffer that much. They don't suffer that much. You kill people's relatives, and the relatives are grieving. The relatives have to put up with that memory for all their lives. And some people have big families, and it spreads out into the family how their daughter was molested or beat to death or shot or thrown off a dang-gone balcony or bridge or something. But what about the criminal? He's sitting up in jail laughing. So we have there's a tolerance in the judicial system, in the legal system, in this society that kind of pampers the criminals, the evil ones, pampers the followers of Satan, the children of Satan, followers of the devil's friends and companions, tolerates them and pampers them and allows them to do their whatever they want to do in this society. And all of the good people are hiding in their houses, scared to come out. Bars everywhere. Burglar alarms. You know the burglar alarm business is so huge. Bigger than it should be. It's the criminals that should be scared. They should be running. But see, in a truly just society, the criminals will be running. And they won't have to run that long because they'll be dead. Once it's proven that that person did that criminal and evil thing, he should not be out of jail. He should not get no bonds or nothing. The society in the Constitution was set up here in America for the man to be able, a criminal to be able to get bail. He killed somebody. If he's got enough money, he pay that money or put up the house as with a lien on it. And he can walk right around the same neighborhood that he just killed somebody. They might see him in 2 days. Mm-hmm. So what kind of hell is this? It's hell. That's exactly what it is. This is a part of hell in this society. This is the hell in the hereafter is way worse. Worse than you can imagine. The suffering. They'll say, oh, will you just give us something to drink? Or will you, lighten the penalty? Will you stop the heat of the fire? Will you stop the pain for just a little while? And the angel says, no, you stay right here and suffer for all the time that Allah wants you to be here and suffer. So you have to really work hard to watch your life and watch out for your life and do what you're supposed to do. Keep an eye on people. Learn how people think. Learn something about the mind so you'll have a sense. You won't know the whole thing. Only Allah knows the whole thing. Only Allah knows everything. Only Allah knows what's going on in your heart and your mind of anybody all the time. But you'll learn a sense of who can be trusted somewhat. What's wrong with that? Nothing. That's good. That's a good trait. That's a good quality. That's like genius and high science to know something about how people think. I think all the psychologists and the sociologists and the anthropologists and these people, along with the bankers and the political people and the judges and the lawyers, Allah asks in the Holy Quran, what is the matter with the judges and the doctors of law, that they don't forbid the people evil things, speaking evil words and doing things forbidden? What's their problem? Because all of these high scientists, they take advantage of you. they have a mentality where they're actually preying on you. I don't mean praying like, oh, God, help me. I mean preying on you like eating you up. They love to eat you up. They are like vampires and cannibals consuming your life, biting and sucking all of the energy and the life and the faith and the health out of you, sucking it out. That's what they do. That's what they do. That's why you're in pain. So if you don't learn how to protect your mind, guard your mind, and be careful, not just in your neighborhood, but even when you turn on the television or look in the media, listen to what those singers are singing. Singing songs that say, I'm going to get you. I'm going to rip you off. I'm going to take from you. I'm going to seduce you. I'm going to trick you. I'm going to lie to you. I'm going to use you. I'm going to abuse you. Look at me. Look at me. I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that. You ain't nothing. What is that to say to people? Brothers and sisters, we got a long talk forever and ever and ever because the Islamic culture is clean. It's purity. It's decency. And we fight. We are here to fight against corrupt people, corrupt things, corrupt ideas, corrupt concepts. And we're here committed to uphold, to keep and to guard the precious things that give us a higher quality life. That's what Allah wants us to do. So when you go out and work with the people to pull them up, don't let them pull you down because they're drowning and smothering in corruption that they're not wise enough and smart enough to protect their minds against and protect their life against. And that's why there's so many poor people and destitute people laying out there in the street because they're too weak to fight against all these scientists, all these lawyers, all these politicians, all these judges, all these hypocrite religious people who are telling them to worship the white people, worship them, and just give up and give in because you can't defeat them because they're smarter than you. In fact, they're akin to God. Here's the Son of God. Take a look at him. And don't just take a look at him. Consume him into your body. Here, every year we have this little, and every first of the month or whenever it is, first Sunday, we have the little wine to drink that represents the blood of the white God. Here's some of his body to eat. This bread, this little cracker represents eating his body, and now you're closer to the white God. I heard Imam Muhammad say, that's the devil. He said, when you look up on the cross, you're looking at the image of the devil. You're not looking at the image of the real Jesus. That's not Jesus up there. That's the symbol of the white power people. That's the symbol of the thinkers and the wizards and the chiefs and the leaders of the white race who want to control the whole world with their fake magic and their tricking your mind and their psychology, their philosophies, their false philosophies, and their mythology, their false religion, and their false religious doctrine, the things they say you should be doing with yourself in religion. That's what our problem is. We keep doing what they say. Who are they? The terrible they. The terrible they. That's what I call them. The terrible they. And they make all kind of products for you to use, and most of them, many of them, have some sort of corruption in them, and those products are abusing your body, abusing your life, making you waste your time, and you foolishly stumble through life without living in real reality. That's why we need Allah. Allah is real reality, and his words tell us what to do with ourselves. And his words will save us from the falsehood and the corruption that the world has all around us that they're using against us. They're using it against you. They tell you what to do through a song. They show you what to do through a movie. They're really giving you like classes. They're giving you classes and lessons in how to do what they tell you to do, and when you do it, it hurts you. We need real reality. We need to know what really works for us and what will really help us and will really make us stronger and will really save us. That's what we need to know. We don't need to be practicing some cannibalism, some vampire behavior, and that's supposed to save us. We're going to go into the second part of the talk. We hope you're able to hear and understand what we're talking about. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. As-salamu alaykum. Alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala khair mursaleen Muhammad ibn Abdullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Brothers and sisters, we're now in the, peace be unto you, as-salamu alaykum. We're now in the second part of the Jummah prayer today. We thank Allah for his guidance and his mercy and his forgiveness. And we just said that we wish the peace be upon Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him and his family, his companions. And he is the best of all of the messengers, that so much so that we call him Khairul Mursaleen. And peace be upon his family and his companions. Ameen. Khairul Mursaleen means the best of the prophets, the best of the messengers. Brothers and sisters, we're thankful. Our job is to be strong and to be good and just continue to say these Islamic things. Continue to say these things that represent how Muslims think and to show that we are not scared of the world. We live in the world and not be of it. We live in the world and not be taken down by the world. We live in the world and continue to make progress no matter what. You're not going to be able to stop sinning, and but Allah tells us to stay away from the worst sins. He said to stay away from all sin, but he has forgiveness for sin. The thing he does not forgive is if you join partners with him. Don't worship anything or take anything as an equal with Allah, because he has no la sharika la. He has no partners. There's nothing that can compare with Allah. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. If you bow down humbly and ask Allah to forgive you, he says he has all forgiveness. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We thank Allah for guiding us and for making us Muslim. Allah says he has promised to establish you. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَأَمِلُوا صَالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَقْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. That Allah has promised to establish you the same as he established those before you. We are the Muslim people. We will continue to teach this way of life and to live this way of life. We have a right. How you going to see a slant-eyed, yellow-colored Chinese or whatever and say he has no right to his yellow skin or his slanted eyes? You know, the white man is like that. He'll tell you that you don't have no right because your brown skin or your black skin, you don't have no right to freedom. You don't have no right to exist. You don't have no right to challenge him. You don't have no right to save yourself. You don't have no right to pray to the Creator instead of praying to his statue and praying to the white man's image and his lie that he give you supposed to be religion. Do you know that dozens and dozens of popes just sat there over the centuries and watched the African people be annihilated and be kidnapped and be enslaved and be raped and be mixed and all those different crimes against humanity? Yeah, somebody of a different race can marry somebody of another race. But when they force their evils on you, force fornication on you, force murder on you, drug using, smuggling, dealing, force you through mental and psychological manipulation to hate yourself because you're not them. Yeah, they want everybody to hate what everybody else is because you're not them. This shows you the level of vanity. It shows you the selfishness. This shows you the malignant, narcissistic. That means they just totally into their self, so vain, that the attitude of they They think that they deserve. They think that they got the right to have everything and leave you nothing, not even yourself. Rip you off and then brag about how they did you and say you deserve what you got because you're not them. Because you're not white, you deserve to be hurt. You deserve pain. You deserve suffering. You deserve abuse. You deserve to be stomped on and squashed because you're nothing. Because you're not. Because I'm something. I'm something. You're nothing. Some people might say, why are you talking like that at Juma? Well, I mean, that means you don't know much about Al-Islam, because these words to overturn these signs and to overcome the overturn things that were hidden from us and discover the truth. It's part of our religion to warn. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent as a warner, and he was sent to bring good news. Isn't it good news for somebody to tell you how these people are abusing you and show you ways to use your God-given right, your right that was given to you by Allah when He existed, when He created you, gave you existence? Isn't it a good thing for somebody to show you that your very existence requires and demands and allows and guarantees you liberation and health and safety and faith, good thinking, good life, happiness, joy? Allah said in the Holy Quran, believers will have joy in everything that they do. Well, if you let these evil ones, these fake people and fake cultures get through with you, suck all the life out of you, you're not going to have no joy. That don't sound like no fun to me, to be abused and neglected and wasted. Not one day, not one month, not one century, but for centuries. 500 for 500 years, 400 to 500 years at least, they've been using people that they've enslaved, that they've tricked, that they've ambushed. They've been using them and all their descendants by the millions for free, hundreds of millions. Use you and abuse you, enslave you, murder you, deny you. Deny you happiness. Deny you access to the real creator. They did this to the people here, this culture, this continent and other continents. They did that to hundreds of millions of people. Enslaved them, made them work. Brothers and sisters, we're going to go into the end of the prayer. We thank Allah that you had an opportunity to be with us today and to listen to us. And we hope that you will spread, all of the Muslims, I hope you will spread this truth all over the world with vigor, with power. Allah says, use your zeal. He says, rush into their ranks with this truth. You ain't got to hit them with no weapon, physical weapon. Truth is the greatest weapon that exists. Reality is the greatest tool or instrument that exists. What to do? Knowing right from wrong is the best thing that you can have. Yes, and he says, "Yakfur bil taguti wa yu'min billahi, faqad yastamsaka bil ulwatil wuthqa, la intisama laha, wallahu samiul alim." That Allah says that you are the people who have to know the right from the wrong, and you believe in Allah. Yeah, so those who reject wrong and who accept what's right, who establish good and reject right, these are people who are doing right. So Allah said, Yakfir bil taguti, get away from falsehood. Stay away from evil. Accept right and righteousness. Live that and do what's right. Those are the people who are of faith. Allah will love us and help us forever. There's much, much more to say to this, but I think these few concepts that we opened up today, that we broke out today, and show you some of these demonic people that are behind the media, they manipulate you with the media. If you come with a good song, they don't want or a good movie, they ain't not going to pay you no big money for no good movie. They want the movies that keep you crazy, that show murder and suicide and all these wicked things. Don't you know the violence is the most popular movies these days and have been for a long time? Some of the biggest built-up so-called heroes in the society are the murderers and the drug dealers. They make movies about it. They brag about how many people such and such killed. Yeah, cult killers. And these people who kill over and over and over again. They make movies about that. The mafias and the syndicates who murder up people and
and sell drugs and create huge banking systems that they use. They use that money to destroy the weak. One country can come right into your country and take it over almost without firing a shot. They get you on them drugs, you will lose everything. You're gone. You're finished. Then they just slide into where you, the space you live. They just walk the streets where you're not there no more. They just take what you left behind because you no longer exist. You destroyed yourself with their drugs. They brought them to you to do that with. And the rabbis and the doctors of law, the politicians, the judges, they're sitting there watching. They see this. They're not dummies. Even though they're hidden, Allah in the Quran, they watch you from a position where you can't see them. Even though you don't see them, they're looking right at you. They're the reason that you live in what you live in, because they're the ones who said, I'm going to give you the trash to live. I'm going to give you a disaster to live. I'm going to give you hazard to live. I'm going to give you abuse to live. I'm going to kill you, but I don't want you to die. I just want you to be zombie. And you'd be surprised. Zombie don't mean the person can't go to work. Zombie don't mean the person isn't serving some purpose, even if it's nothing but to motivate the ones that will work. Yeah, they let them come in. They get it. They look at the people they destroyed, and they laugh. The evil ones show them something to laugh at. You become the party. You become the joke. You become the butt. You become the scapegoat. So they show the people who follow them and believe in them and who work for them, they show them you so that they can say, see there, those other people are not as good as you. But if you listen to his inner voice is, none of y'all are as good as me. And I control all y'all suckers. That's what the hell they really are. That's the devil. That's Satan. That's what he said to Allah. I'll have power over all of them. I'll show you that they can't, they will not be grateful for your favors. That'll be all around them, but they won't be able to be grateful. Why can't they be grateful? Because Shaitan breaks them. He damages them to the point that they can't do nothing normal. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We're going to close. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Salaw alayhi wa salimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim ala Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim ala Ibrahim fil alamin innaka Hamidum Majid. Rabbana hab lana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata a'yunin waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. That means, our Lord, give us wives and offspring that will be a comfort to our eyes. Amen. To lead the righteous. Rabbana aghfir lana dhunubana wa israfina fi amrina wa thabbit aqdamana wa ansurna ala al-qawmi al-kafirin. Our Lord, forgive our sins and anything we may have done that transgressed our duty. Blot out our sin, our fault. And give us, and strengthen our faith and help us against those who stand against faith. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan. Our Lord, give us good in this world and good in the hereafter, and save us from the chastisement of the hellfire. Amen. Let me stand up for prayer. This is Juma prayer. It's two rakahs. We're praying only to Allah. So let us remember that we're praying only to Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the unseen. He has no physical form, but he has created every physical form and all of the things that exist that you can't even see.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya al-salah, hayya al-salah, hayya al-falah, hayya al-falah. قد كامل الصلاة قد كامل الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولا من أهل الكتاب إلا خير لكم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون الله أكبر إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس مالك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من عجلة والناس الله أكبر سميع الله من سميع الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
Oh Allah, help, have mercy upon us and forgive us our sins. Have mercy upon us, O Allah, and let us be of those who bow in submission to your will. To those who are ill, O Allah, we ask that you return them the strength and return them to their families and let them live their whole life in worship service to you. Ameen. And those who have passed on, we ask Allah that you have mercy upon them, forgive them their sins and admit them into paradise, and let there be moon and light in their graves, and let them be of those who are happy, Allah, with what you have blessed them with. And let us all be joined together on the day of judgment in the paradise. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, may Allah bless you all. And again, we want to show our appreciation to the Blog Talk Radio Station and Brother Ameen Muhammad, who is the director of the program, who has worked with us for years and years to bring our Jummah broadcast, bring our Jummah prayer service as a broadcast on his program. And so may Allah bless each and every one of you. We appreciate you again for joining us. For those who were not able to get in, I saw some of the numbers, so I'm going to send out the email with the recording of what we said today. Inshallah, we'll get that out fairly immediately, probably today. And then the other thing is that if you are on the radio, if you know our number, then text me your email address, because I can send it to you email. And they had some kind of a problem where I can't really text the whole khutbah anymore, but I can text the lecture, the khutbah, to you through your, I can send it to you through your email. So send me your email address, text me your email address so that I can get the Jummah out to you. And today is the 3rd, I believe, the 3rd of December, and the time is passing so fast. And inshallah, next week or the week after that is when we'll begin to give you some of the secret lies about how they are holding the people's minds with the concept of Christmas and New Year's and these other things. So may Allah bless each and every one of you. Thank you again for joining us. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.